Our scripture this morning is from John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "We are descendants of Abraham," they answered him, "and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus responded, "I assure you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free."
We've been blessed as a nation, Lord, blessed by your hand. From the freedom that we enjoy to the beauty of our land, you have shed your grace upon us time and time again. We give you all of the praise. What more can we say? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We will honor you, we will seek you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We will honor you, we will seek you for the rest of our day. Hallelujah, the rest of our day. It is you we celebrate. Through the faith of our fathers, we are the living proof. A strong nation can endure, founded on your truth. We pledge to leave our children the same legacy. When you have set us free, we are free indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We will honor you, we will seek you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We will honor you, we will seek you for the rest of our days. Hallelujah, the rest of our day, it is you we celebrate. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We will honor you, we will seek you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We will honor you, we will seek you for the rest of our days. Hallelujah, the rest of our days, it is you we celebrate.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh,
thank you. nation in word and in deed, committed to living our life, to stand for freedom all that is right, with our hands, across our hearts. Oh, across our hearts. The cause of freedom is a cause that we each must share if we are to be true to the Scriptures. And we're going to look this morning at John chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to encourage you to turn there to John chapter 8. And we're going to look at this passage of Scripture that addresses this subject of freedom. Not just what it means to be free, but where lies true freedom, or the foundations of freedom. Freedom is more than just a political slogan. It really comes from the Bible. And I believe that this could be proved historically, that the nation that believes in the God of the Bible is going to be a free nation. And conversely, the nations that do not believe in the God of this Bible are not going to be a free nation. I would challenge anyone to prove me otherwise. Freedom is more even than the innate longing of the human soul. It cannot exist where the true source of freedom is ignored. And here we're going to find what that true source is. Three foundations, if you will, for freedom that are found here in this passage of Scripture, not just here, I think in other places certainly. But we're going to look at what Jesus had to say about freedom here. If we could look at our passage there, it tells about how there were Jews who believed in Jesus, it says, who came to him. And Jesus spoke these words to those who believed in him. Now, I'm not sure that they really believed in him to salvation. There's a lot of controversy about that. If you'll look at some of the commentaries, if you have a commentary on the Gospel of John, or you've heard preaching on this passage of Scripture, we're looking at freedom and what Jesus said here about freedom. First of all, there's a word of freedom. Again, we're looking at foundations of true freedom. The Bible says that to the word and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And I would challenge any of you, if you think otherwise, to find out and prove me wrong, if I am wrong, which I'm confident that I'm not wrong because I believe I'm honoring the Scriptures. But if you think you can prove that there is another religion, there is another book that gives freedom, then prove me otherwise. I believe its freedom is based upon the freedom that Jesus gives, and only upon the freedom that Jesus gives. Every other freedom is really false freedom, is really bondage. And that's why we see so much bondage in the world. And truly, we do have bondage in this country. We have people who are in bondage to various addictions, for example. We have the light of the gospel. We have the belief in our founding principles that are based upon this book, the Bible. I think it's why we have the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor. I know the French gave it to us, and some would suspect that. But I think it really symbolizes the founding principles of our country, and perhaps above all principles, the principle of freedom, that we are called to be free, that we are created to be free, and God has set us free in Christ. I want us to look here about in thinking about the word of freedom. I want to read a quote that came from Abraham Lincoln, arguably one of our great presidents, if not our greatest president. And he said, "It is impossible to enslave mentally and spiritually Bible-believing people." It's impossible, he said, to enslave mentally and spiritually people who believe in the Bible. Now that really summarizes, I believe, what we believe as a nation about freedom and freedom not just for ourselves, but for other peoples. I believe it's why God raised us up, why God raised up America, that is, to shine this torch of freedom. Now, there's a particular word. Jesus said, "My word, if you continue in my word." Now, that little pronoun there, "my," is very important. What Jesus is saying is that in my word, there is freedom. As he went on to say, you are really my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You may remember that when Jesus stood later before Pilate and he said, I came to bear witness to the truth. And you remember the reply that Pilate gave, a rather cynical reply. He said, what is truth? I think he echoed the cynicism that there is in this world today for truth. Truth is really being attacked. I really believe it's what evolution is. Now, some don't agree with that, but I believe that evolution is really a lie that Satan has disseminated to make us believe that we are here just by accident. No, we are here because God created us. God created us to be free. He made us in His image. And if Jesus said these things, and Jesus is God, the Bible says through Him all things were created. And if Jesus said these things, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then we must believe in a particular word of freedom. Not just any word, not just the words of a revolutionary, for example. There have been many who have been led astray, thinking that they were going to have freedom, but ended up in worse bondage than they were in before. So we must listen to that particular word, and we must pursue it. Douglas MacArthur said, no man is entitled to the blessings of freedom unless he be vigilant in its preservation. So we must be vigilant. We must preserve it. We must pursue it even. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, we must pursue truth wherever it leads in order for it to change our lives. God says in his word, seek you out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these things shall fail. God gives us a challenge to read his word, to study it, to find out if there is any untruth in it. The devil wants to slander it. He wants to make us doubt the word and to lose confidence in the word and to think that the Bible is just no better than any other book, even a holy book. But God says in his word that my truth shall not fail. Not one thing that I have spoken will fall to the ground without being fulfilled. There's a perusal of that book. A perused means that we study it. I think it's implied here, if not clearly taught, I think it's clearly taught, really, by what Jesus said here, if you continue in my word. Now, I was reading in a commentary about this passage of Scripture by Henry Morris, and a very fine commentary on the Gospel of John. And he mentions how these were Jews who, it says, believed in him. Now, he kind of, I think he wasn't dogmatic about it, but he thinks that these were Jews who believed in him in their head, but really not in their heart. Now, he didn't quite put it that way, but I think that this is what he was saying. I think it's what really the Scriptures are saying here. The Jews who believed in him, but didn't really trust him, didn't really entrust their lives to him, didn't like the disciples come to him and say, Lord, we have left all to follow you. They didn't sever the ties of their Jewish religion, of their confidence in the law, for example. And so there was a back door. They sought a back door out in case things got a little too difficult for them. And I think it's like a lot of people who believe in their heart, in their head. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I've talked to some people like this. I'm sure you have. But they would not entrust themselves to him. They would not go to a church where the Bible is preached and make a public profession of faith and follow the Lord in believer's baptism, for example. Follow him on that road of discipleship, reading his word, studying his word, being a witness for him. And none of us are the witness that we should be. All of us fail. All of us sin. That's why we need to be humble and we need to acknowledge our faults and confess our faults to one another. I think even to let the world know, the people that we witness to, that we're far from perfect, that we are sinful. But we have someone that we can go to have our sins forgiven. So this is all part of freedom. When Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free, they took offense at that. They said, we are descendants of Abraham and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free? So they were offended. But Jesus was talking more than about just political freedom. He was talking about the freedom of the soul before God. Freedom from, we're not free from sin, but God has mercifully through the cross of Jesus Christ, provided a way that our sins could be atoned for in His presence and never to be accounted for again. Isn't that wonderful? That when we get to heaven, He's not going to have a list. Oh, you didn't do this. You did this. And you said this. You weren't a very good Christian. In fact, I'm not sure I'm going to let you in. Well, that's not the basis for which God accepts us into heaven. He accepts us by grace. And by Calvary's grace, the blood that was shed for us was far sufficient, totally sufficient for all of the sins, not only that we've ever committed, but ever will. That's what grace is. And that's what Jesus, I think, wanted to say to them in these words. And I'm sure there were other words that are not recorded here in Scripture, but He had these ones that He had to deal with many times that were on the verge of belief. They believed that He was the Messiah. They believed that He was the Son of God even. And they believed that He came to die for them on the cross, but they were not willing to entrust their lives to Him. And so I believe this is what Jesus is talking about here and what He wants to share with us about the way of freedom. There's a word of freedom. There's a way of freedom. Here Jesus said, if you continue in My word, then you really are My disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, there were 12 that came to Jesus, and basically they came with no conditions. They came giving their all to Him, and they're called disciples. And what Jesus is saying to these, I think because these are representative of all of us who need to make that clear-cut commitment of discipleship. I think it's the only way you can become a Christian, is to become a disciple of Jesus. I tell you, everything else falls short of that. I believe it's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, a great religious leader, He said, you, Nicodemus, must be born again. You must be born again. He was talking about this way of freedom. It's an abiding way. Jesus said, if you continue in My word, you really are My disciples. You may remember the time that a rich young ruler came to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, Lord, I'll follow You wherever You go. I'm ready. But Jesus said, do you remember? Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. And then come and follow Me. And he wasn't willing to do that. He wasn't willing to make that total commitment of his life to Jesus. And you know what total commitment is. It's the cross, where Jesus died for us. He gave Himself totally for us. And He calls us to do the same. There's an abiding in that. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, that yoke of bondage that it's talking about there, and you can read about it in Galatians, is really the law. And what it's saying there, what Paul is saying there to the Galatians, I believe applies to us. We're not saved by keeping the law. We're saved by trusting in Jesus and by grace alone. Because otherwise we would boast. We would brag about what good people we are, how righteous we are, and how we deserve to be in God's heaven. And just the opposite is the case. We are unworthy. We're worthy of hell, let's put it that way, and not of heaven. So we must abide in His word. We must continue. We must follow Him. We must also know that that way is abundant. Here Jesus said, if you continue in My word, you are My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In another place, Jesus talked about an abundant life that He would give all who come to Him. And in our nation's founding documents is that phrase, the pursuit of liberty, I believe, and that we, I memorized it at one time, but we have been called to the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness. Well, that's rather, I probably, if I were writing, I probably would have written that a little differently. Because happiness today, maybe it doesn't mean what it did then. We're not always happy in that sense. But a fulfilled life, a joyful life, an abundant life, a life that has that deep inner sense that we are at peace with God and that He has promised to supply our needs. We're looking to Him. I think it's what Jesus meant here when He talked about how this truth would set us free. And it's an absolute way, this way of freedom. Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Right here in this passage in verse 36. If the Son sets you free, it says here in this translation, and you will really be free. I want to be really free, and I'm sure you do. I want not only that for myself, but I want it for my nation. We love America. I'm sure that's the heart of each one here today. We don't love all of the faults of our nation. We don't love some of the things that we see happening in our nation, some of the trends but I'm sure we don't. But we love the fact that God has blessed America. He has blessed us to be here. I don't think we realize how blessed we are to be in this beloved nation. I don't know of any other nation where I would rather be. I've been in a few. I know you have, Brother Curtis. I know others of you have. And when you come back, it just makes you appreciate so much more the wonderful nation that we have, how blessed this nation is. And you can see it in every town, in every city, on the street corners and the churches that are holding forth the word of truth, the Bible. And I just want to encourage us to walk in that way of freedom, to believe that word of freedom, to walk in that way of freedom. But thirdly, to do the work of freedom. And I want us to notice what happened after Jesus said these words, if you continue in my word. And it says he said this to the Jews who believed in him. Now, I kind of think that this really means those who believed in their head. They really believed, they were convinced that he was the Messiah. But apparently they had not really entrusted their lives to him. Otherwise, Jesus would not have said what he said here. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so there was an offense here at what Jesus said. They complained, we're the descendants of Abraham. Well, you know, if we're not free, then who is? Kind of like us saying today, I'm an American. By definition, I believe in freedom. I am free. Now, we know that no freedom is absolute. The illustration's been given. You could jump off the top of this building thinking that you would not be injured. This building's not very high, but it's high enough that you wouldn't want to try it. And I wouldn't encourage you to try it. Hang gliding, that's a little different. Some of you might be hang gliders. That takes more faith than I have. But I rejoice in your freedom. If you want to try that, Fred and the youth and Lori did some rock climbing and other things to stretch their faith a little bit. Was your faith stretched any? Quite a bit? I thought so. I know you will. They're going to have a report next Sunday on the youth trip and some pictures. So please look forward to that next Sunday. But the work of freedom is hard. The unbelieving Jews resisted. I remembered reading in history, and I'm not an expert on Russian history, but I did read about this man named Rasputin. It was back around the time of the Communist Revolution, before that actually, in the early 1900s. And his name, Rasputin's name, means debaucher. And he was a very disreputable character, apparently, from the historical reports of his doings. And many historians believe that his immoral and scandalous behavior, and you can read about him, you can look him up on Wikipedia or one of those, do a search on it. Rasputin is his name. But many historians believe that his behavior contributed to the Communist Revolution, the decadence that led up to this revolution being enabled to take place that so changed this nation of Russia. And we have adversaries today in the camps of the politically correct, for example, the anything goes entertainment industry, extreme civil libertarians who would have us believe that freedom means lack of restraint and license to live immorally. We have the Rasputins with us today that would want to bring America down. And we know who's behind it all. His name is the devil, the liar, the slanderer of God and of us. And the one who loves to bring nations down. The Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And I fear for America. I fear that we have become like Sodom and Gomorrah, and that God will be obligated to judge us as he did Sodom and Gomorrah, unless we repent. So there's a hard work of freedom, and I think we hear it in the words of our Savior here. He didn't mince words. He said it like it was, like it needed to be said. Because he wants us to be free. He wants this message to be heard. A famous philosopher said, "No man is free who is not a master of himself." And Abraham Lincoln again said, "Those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves, and under a just God cannot long retain it." Samuel in the Bible said to Saul, Saul was the first king of Israel, a great man of promise, a great leader, could have been a great king. But he said to Samuel, or Samuel said to Saul, rather, "As the Lord is great, a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs." And so pious platitudes are not enough. It's not enough just to say we believe in Jesus, but we haven't entrusted our lives to Him. We haven't let Him change our lives. We haven't let Him bring us to that new birth that He spoke to Nicodemus about. So we must allow this work to be heard, but also to be heeded. The Jews who believed in Him said, "We are Abraham's seed," or "Abraham's descendants." We might say, "Well, I'm a Christian. I was born in a Christian family. My dad was a Christian. My mom was a Christian. My grandparents, Christians." But have you entrusted your life to Him? If not, you're no different than those that Jesus said here, that said to Jesus, "We have never been enslaved to anyone," which prompted Jesus to say to them, "Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not remain in the house forever, but a son does remain forever. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you will be really free." We must heed that word. Now, the Liberty Bell is one of our symbols of freedom. We spoke about the Statue of Liberty. We could mention others. But the Liberty Bell, I'm sure you're all familiar with, was, hey, maybe you're not, but the historical story, the account that I read was that when it was cast, it was broken. That Liberty Bell, that bell that we call the Liberty Bell, it's in Philadelphia, was cracked. And so it had to be recast once and periodically maintained to continue ringing. And it reminds me of the need for vigilance, how we need to be vigilant in the cause of freedom. Because our freedoms are going to be eroded. I think they're already eroded. I'm not sure that they can ever be returned to the way they are, but who knows? God knows. I do remember reading about some revivals in the Old Testament. I read recently about the revival under Josiah, one of my favorite kings in the Bible. We named one of our sons Josiah because I really like Josiah in the Bible. He was king during a very difficult time. The nation had become so decadent, so spiritually dead, that when they found a copy of the scriptures in the temple, they didn't even know what it was. The Bible had become an unknown book. And so Josiah had those words read to him, and his heart was touched by that. And he led that people to listen to the word of God. And a great revival happened in that day. The judgment of God was about to fall on the nation, but the judgment hand of God was stayed, I believe, because of the faithfulness of one who honored the word, the source of freedom, and wanted to impart that fear of God to his own people. May God help us to do likewise. May God help us to read the word, to live the way, and to do the work of freedom.